Welcome to Movie Crush, a production of iHeartRadio. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Movie Crush, Mini Crush Monday with Nizzle in the house.
I like that. Nizzle.
In your house, that is.
Is that like pig Latin? Is that is that just like a hip-hopification?
That's Snoop Latin.
Okay, got it. Got it. You ever met Snoop Dogg, Chuck?
Have I ever met Snoop Dogg? I have not met him. I walked right by him one time and, do I even want to talk about this?
Did he smell good, Chuck? Did he smell good?
I'm not going to tell this story,
okay,
but I passed by Snoop Dogg one time in very close proximity.
Yeah.
And he referenced me and my friends as being all these white guys with sideburns.
Oh, well, that sounds on brand. Was this like back in the 70s? Like, when was this?
No. This is
I'm just joking.
This is in the probably late 90s when the big sideburns were in. Have you met him?
No, I have not. I have not. He just seems cool.
Yeah, I love him, man. I remember very distinctly the first time I ever listened to The Chronic in Athens, Georgia with my friends, Jason and Clay. And when Snoop Dogg made his debut on that record, I had never heard of a voice like his before.
Yeah.
And it was totally original and just fucking floored me.
Completely.
I was like, who is this guy?
Yeah, he had this super laid back kind of like, just so cool. Just the coolest delivery, you know?
Yeah, and it was just different at the time. Like, everything was kind of hard hitting. And
yep.
He was the perfect counterpunch to Dre. I need to listen to The Chronic again. I haven't pulled that out in a little while.
Is that the one that encourages you to smoke weed every day?
Well, it is 420, Noel.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Thanks for bringing that up.
No worries.
So that's a nice segue. What we were going to do, and we talked about doing since this is releasing on April 20th, was doing a weed episode, but then I started thinking about how dumb that is.
Hey, Chuck, you ever podcasted on weed?
On weed? So we are not doing a 420 episode, but I thought I would at least throw a bone to the crowd and do a segment on weed movies.
Totally.
Fair enough.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Love it.
So I asked the movie crushers, what is the best weed movie? And I said, I don't know if there are any because I find them all kind of dumb, in my honest opinion. But let's see what the people have to say. What do you say? Do you like weed movies?
Yeah. What's the Dave Chappelle one? That's the classic. That one's actually considered pretty funny and pretty
half-baked.
Half-baked.
It was okay, I guess, but
it was cute.
I only saw it once, so it's not like it couldn't have been that good.
What about the Cheech and Chong movies? You don't have a little nostalgic, warm place in your heart for those guys?
I do, but they're really not that good.
They're not, and they're really dumb.
I hate to say it.
Yeah.
They're kind of dumb and not that good. I can say that now with hindsight.
I think that's fair. I don't know. You like that High Maintenance show a lot. That's a weed thing.
Sort of, but... yeah, you see it and you'll realize it's not a weed show at all.
Got it.
It's a show about human beings, Noel. How many times do I have to tell you that?
Well, so is Half-Baked, Chuck. So is Half-Baked.
Well, let's see if if any of these will jog my memory of good weed movies. Austin Ardebsky, one of our good friends, says Pineapple Express. When that came out, me and my buddies went to a midnight screening and people were literally passing joints around and smoking. I will never forget that experience. I actually kind of liked Pineapple Express.
That one was fun because it had a heist element involved, you know, or there was like some
was
crime.
Right.
And Danny McBride's always a treat. I really enjoy him.
I'll always see anything he's in. Yeah. I didn't want to see it again, but it was fun enough.
You know, Chuck, there are very few movies these days that I want to see again. As I've gotten older, my time is just so valuable. I don't feel like I ever need to see things more than once most of the time. I know you don't feel that way, but that's just an across-the-board thing for me kind of with movies nowadays.
All right, fair enough. Becca Lou goes with Pineapple Express, too, for no other reason than I'm already in the dumpster is used in my house extensively, is what she says. And Becca Lou's an old pal, of course.
Is that referring to being really stoned or something? Or
I don't remember the line. Okay. I think it was just a line in the movie. I don't think it had other meaning. I think they were literally in the dumpster.
Yeah, maybe it's literally a scenario where you're supposed to meet somebody in the dumpster and you're saying, I'm already in the dumpster. So,
One of our oldest friends with a great name, Margarita Saramago, says, Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle. Easily the one I've watched the most times. From what I remember, I really loved it. Yeah, that was fun.
I haven't seen those. Yeah.
Let me see here.
Would you consider Dazed and Confused a weed? What constitutes a weed movie? Like,
well, good point, because someone says Dazed and Confused in here. Where was that? I saw it earlier. I don't consider that a weed movie at all. Do you?
I guess the very nature of a weed movie is sort of diminutive anyway, because it's implying that it's sort of a one-trick pony and that it's leaning on a stale kind of, you know, joke the whole movie. And so I could see where you're coming from. The idea of a weed movie inherently is like schlocky and kind of not great usually.
Yeah, that's because weed culture is kind of dumb and schlocky and not great.
But what you realize is that, like, all kinds of people smoke weed, everyone of every kind of, like, you know, social strata and, like, you know, generation, so many people smoke weed that, to your point about high maintenance, that's probably more what that show's about, is about all of the different people that are connected by this, you know, kind of common thread, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah, that's a good point. Let me see here. Jacob Cusera says, not a weed movie at all, but in the 80s, in 9 to 5, the pivotal scene where Lily Jane and Dolly smoke up and hatch a plan to undo their chauvinistic boss. That is a great scene. Great movie.
Dolly Parton smokes weed?
In the movie, they got only, high. It was only in the movies. Very funny. I think, if I'm not mistaken, that Lily Tomlin supplied it.
That sounds on brand, yeah.
Definitely wasn't Jane Fonda, because she was the uptight one. I don't think it was Dolly. It's been a while, but it was pretty funny. Yeah, I think Lily Tomlin had a joint or something like that.
Got it.
One of our old friends, Luke Harkle, wrote, says, got to go with Up in Smoke. Cheech and Chong basically just stringing together a bunch of stuff from their comedy albums, but it works. Yeah, you know how I feel about those.
Yep.
Don't need to watch them.
They occupy a certain place in cinematic and comedic history, I think.
Absolutely.
Sort of like a Gallagher-esque situation. You know, it's like, this is the thing we do. We're Cheech and Chong. We're the weed stoner guys, and this is our bit. You know, and let's stretch it out for as many movies as we can get paid for.
Yeah. And it turns out there's not a ton of these movies, because the same ones are coming up again and again. There's a movie from Dylan Thomas here called How High.
I don't think I ever saw that. Isn't that the one with Redman and Method Man?
And another man?
Just the two men, just Red and Method, I think.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, I believe that's correct.
And, you know, I don't know if you would call this strictly a weed movie at all. It's not, but I think Friday could maybe gather in that general area as a good comedy featuring lots of weed.
Friday's a good movie, though. Like, that's like a solid-ass picture, you know? Like, that
yeah,
really
I
love
it. It's good. I love it at the beginning when Ice Cube's mom tells him to have the milk, or have water with his cereal, because they're out of milk.
Gross.
Can you imagine? Water cereal? Ugh.
If you really think about it, though, milk is kind of gross, too. I mean, I like it, but when you really give it too much thought, it starts to kind of come apart, you know? Like, the idea of drinking milk. Yeah, it's just cow juice, you know? It's like watery, liquid cow juice. I don't know. What about skim? Skim, forget about it. Whole milk or nothing. That's where I'm going to draw the line.
Well, we got to go with 2% in our house because of Ruby's age, but those first couple of years were blissful when you had the whole milk in the house before you got to make that switch to 2%. It was the best.
Is that
best.
A thing? What is this? I don't know about this. What does this have to do with age? Is this like a
Yeah, you drink whole
thing?
Milk into a certain age, and then they recommend you go down to 2%.
Oh, interesting.
That's what they say. But boy, I love that whole milk with a cookie.
Oh, yeah, it's true. No, it's true. I love milk. I'm just saying, if you really give it too much thought, it starts to seem gross. Rotten Tomatoes says of How High is a sloppily constructed stoner movie filled with lame, vulgar jokes.
See?
26%.
Oh, that's funny. Alicia Dietz says this. This is a good comment. One of our old friends says, I can't name a specific movie, but I've always found it interesting to rewatch a movie I saw as a kid, and then as an adult, pick up on the more adult-related happenings in the movie
that
went way over my head. That one of those is the scene in Romancing the Stone that I saw in the theater when I was, geez, what year did that come out? I couldn't have been more than like 10 years old. and they find this old abandoned cargo plane in the jungle that was used for hauling weed through South America. And there are big bales of marijuana, and he starts a fire with it. And there's this, I just always remember Michael Douglas throws the big bale of weed on the fire and goes, oh, that's what I call a campfire. And I don't, when I was 10 years old, I had no idea. I was like, yeah, it looks nice.
That's so funny.
The innocence of a child.
The big one for me was that I just didn't understand, and it was a narrative thing, was in Pulp Fiction when she's doing cocaine. I understood what cocaine was, sort of, just, you know, ephemerally, I guess. But she does the heroin instead of cocaine, and then she,
you
like,
probably didn't get the difference.
I didn't understand the difference. Yeah. I didn't understand the distinction. I assumed... Yeah, I just didn't get that narrative, like, little twist. But also, did not understand that the Gimp character was anally raping Ving Rhames' character. Did not pick up on that at all when I was a little kid. I just think I just didn't know what I was looking at. And then I...
Oh, so when he was bent over and getting ramrodded, you didn't...
I didn't understand what that... I saw it very young, Chuck. I think I was probably like 12 or 13 when I saw that movie.
You know? You're like, are they building something together?
Yeah, exactly.
Are they wrestling?
Is he helping him get a kink out of his neck? Like, what's going on here?
He was helping him get a kink out of his butthole.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Oh, goodness me. The innocence of youth is so, so great.
It's very fleeting, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's for sure. I remember the first time I smelled pot at my very first concert when I saw Cheap Trick when I was 11 at the Fox Theater here in Atlanta in 1982. I smelled pot. And the first time you smell that smell, it's kind of like the first time you drink a beer.
Totally.
It doesn't taste like anything you've ever tasted before.
Right.
And I smelled the pot, and it smelled... like nothing else I had ever smelled. And I was like, what is that?
Do you remember thinking it was gross? Do you think that you thought it was did it register as a gross smell?
Not really. It was just completely different than any other smell my little nose had ever registered.
That's
so
true.
I didn't know what to think about it.
Yeah, it's funny. I brought Eden to L.A. With me when we went up for the podcast awards, and you were there, and we were staying at this hotel in Hollywood near our studios, and I had to have the weed talk with her because every elevator smells like straight dank, and I just finally, she kept being like, "What is that?" And I wasn't like it was a big deal. I was just like, "Well, here in California, marijuana is legal, and so people can carry it around, and the kind that they have here is really strong and has a very strong smell. So that's what that smell is." And she was,
"And
like,
it's everywhere."
Yeah, and she was like, "I don't like it." I'm like, "That's fine. Give it till you're 16 or something."
Yeah,
16. Okay, 18. I'm kidding, Chuck. I'm kidding, obviously.
But. Well, I mean, you know, kids are going to do what they're going to do. I think I didn't try marijuana until I was in college. So I was definitely on the straight and narrow as a high schooler. And I'm glad, actually.
Totally. Yeah. No, I agree.
It's something, I mean, if you're getting stoned when you're 13 and 14, and almost all my friends did, I don't know, just too young, I think.
There's that line in Jackie Brown where I think it's Robert De Niro's character says to Bridget Fonda's character, "You got to quit smoking that shit. It's going to rob you of your
ambition."
Ambition. Yeah, exactly.
And she says, "What if your ambition is to sit around and get stoned all day?"
Exactly.
Such a great line.
That's wonderful.
That shit is going to rob you of your ambition. Let me see here. Geez, there are no good weed movies. Everyone's saying Half-Baked because that's the only one. And Pineapple and Express that are even halfway good. Grandma's Boy. Courtney Hoover says Grandma's Boy. Never heard of that one.
Yeah, that one's one of the worst reviewed movies of all time.
Is it really?
Let's look that one up on Rotten Tomatoes. Hold on. Grandma's Boy, 16%. And it says, a gross-out comedy that's more gross than comedy. Grandma's Boy is lazy and unrewarding.
And will rob you of your ambition.
But here's the thing, though, dude. Movies like this aren't meant to be well-reviewed. No one's saying that these are, like, epic works of, like, cinematic genius. They're just easy and fun and stupid.
Yeah.
And you can turn your brain off and have a good time watching it, you know?
And every pothead will watch it, so you've got that demographic built in.
Exactly.
Because they don't have a lot to choose from. Linnea Barnett says Grandma's Boy as well. First movie my husband and I watched together, and he even proposed to me while we were watching it. Oh, my Lord.
Wow. All right.
All right. We're going to give up on this one. A bunch of people are saying Dazed and Confused. Sophia Fernandez, Heather Ingraham, one of our old friends. Yeah. All right. We did it.
Oh, this is a good one, though. This is a little line from Grandma's Boy Review. I just like, this is really good writing here. The sex, fart, and pot jokes come so fast and furious that a white flag seems the most appropriate response.
Surrender.
Like surrender. I give up. You're bombarding me with sex, fart, and pot jokes.
All right, now we're going to move on to another question asked about movie sequels, but specifically a movie sequel that is not part of a larger series or trilogy. So can't be part 2 of 3 or 2 of 4.
Just okay.
Just a 1-2 punch, which happens less than you think. Because it seems like once you make 2, they're always saying, like, let's do the trilogy, you know?
Yeah, unless you have some auteur that's like, no, that's it. We stop at 2.
Well, and then people are cheating already. So if you cheated, you're not getting read. Austin Ardebsky, our old friend, again, says Ace Ventura When Nature Calls was way better than the first one to me. All right. Fair enough. I don't think I thought that one was very good, actually.
That's the one.
Do you like it?
Well, I mean, there's the part where he like climbs out of a rubber rhino's ass, like naked and covered in like weird amniotic fluid for some reason.
And that was great.
I just don't remember why he was like, I think he was trapped. It wasn't amniotic fluid. I think it was sweat. I think he had been trapped inside of it and he ended up having to crawl out of like this rubber rhino decoy's ass. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I thought the first Ace Ventura was really fun, but I was also like 11, and
yeah. Talking out of your butt was really
funny.
Talking
out of your
then.
Butt was the height of comedic timing for sure.
Oh, it was good. You know, it was funny. He was sort of at his physical comedic peak at the time.
I think if you look back at the second one too, there's some kind of problematic cultural stuff in it.
Oh, really?
Maybe,
I don't
like,
even remember.
It's like I think it's in Australia, like it's the Aborigines or something like that, or it's some tribal group, and there's this like this like sacred bat or something named like Wakaka or some shit, and like every time he says it in a kind of mocking way. I don't know the whole thing. I just remember it being a little weird.
Doesn't age well.
No, probably not.
Here's one I didn't even consider because they were so far apart, but she's right. I think Catherine Brignac says Blade Runner 2049, liked it even better on a second watch. I've only seen that once. I need to dive down into that one again. I really liked it.
I think it's great. I find it to be a better movie than the first one in terms of just the story. Obviously, the first one broke so much ground in terms of like cinematography and using the miniatures and just the whole world building of it. But I thought the second one like had a more interesting story and just like had more nuance to it. I really, really liked it.
Yeah, for sure. People don't understand this question, Noel. They're going with part threes and good God. Just do what I say, everyone. Just do what I say.
Just follow instructions.
Brian Pisesi, one of our old pals, says Wayne's World 2. And he said it mostly holds up.
I agree.
Okay. Now, I have not seen this yet. Our old friend Tanya Cox from Australia says Paddington 2. I've heard those are both really good.
They're wonderful. And I think 2
you
is
told me
better.
That.
2 is better. That's absolutely accurate. It's got Gleason. Who's the elder Gleason?
Jackie?
No. Like the Irish guy. His son is Domhnall Gleeson.
Paul?
Is that his name?
Oh, is Domhnall Gleeson his son?
It's his son, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. But he's in it. He plays this like this kind of hardened convict who Paddington turns into a big old softy with his delightful warm heart and making marmalade and stuff. And it's got Hugh Grant is in it playing like this washed up actor. It's just great. And it's got a lot of great weirdo comedy people from Britain in it, like Richard Iwadi and some of the people from like the Mighty Boosh and a lot of those. It's just, they're both really fantastic movies.
All right. I got to see those. Because I think it was you that told me how great they were.
You can watch them with Ruby too. Like I'm telling you, they're just they're wonderful. They're just there's jokes that you will get that she won't get, but just the action is all very pure and kind, and it's just they're really special movies. I'm telling you, it's crazy how good they are.
I'm gonna do it. Daniel McCoy says, "Babe, Pig in the City, complete 180 from the first movie in terms of tone, but bonkers awesome." That is one of Jesse Thorne's favorite movies, so I'm going to have to check that out. I never saw Babe 2. But I've heard nothing but good things. And I love the first Babe.
I still think it's so crazy that it's the same guy that did the Mad Max movies, did the Babe movies.
It's a little weird. Brian J. Ingrate says, Escape from L.A. The cameos and premise are fun and ridiculous. Wow. Interesting. Escape from L.A. Was terrible to me.
It's awful. It's so bad. It's almost, there's a How Did This Get Made about it. And like, it's got some of the worst like green screen effect. Like, there's a part where he's like surfing.
It looked like it was made 30 years before it was made.
Exactly. It's bizarre.
It's very weird.
But, you know, I would watch it. It's definitely fun and there are some good cameos, but like just everything about it just is off. It's just so strange.
Well, and if it was one of those movies too that did the worst thing a sequel can do to me too, which is to do the exact same film and just like a Mad Lib, just replace a few certain things.
Yeah, in a different city, you know?
So lazy. But hey, we're yucking someone's yum. He loved it. Old friend David Mills says, always love Airplane 2. Not nearly as good as the original, but Part 2 is still great. Yeah, I think Airplane 2 was funny. Did you see those movies, Noel? Probably not.
I don't think so. I was more of a Naked Gun guy myself.
Yeah.
Isn't that the same? Isn't that also Jerry Zucker? Jerry Zucker?
Yeah. Sure. It's a little spoof, funny, silly spoof movies. Our old friend Becca Lou, of course, Frozen 2. Better than the first in every way. Yeah. Frozen 2 was great. I loved it. Let me see. Another vote for Blade Runner 2049 from Chris Knapp. Short Circuit 2, that's from Eddie Waters. I gotta love a sequel with the balls not to cast any of the original actors. Oh, okay. I don't think I realized that was the case.
Isn't that the one where like the guy playing the Indian character was actually white?
And yeah, it was Fisher Stevens.
Yeah, that's the thing. Was that only in the first one though? Or did they like course correct on the second one?
And I think I only
hire an Indian guy.
I think I only saw the first one, and if I'm reading this right, there was a whole different character set in the second one.
Got it.
So I don't even know if I might be wrong, but I'm certainly not going to go watch it and find out. Joe Herndon says Young Guns 2 was better than the first. I'm trying to remember. Young Guns was a big movie in my house in college. We watched that movie quite a bit. And I'm trying to remember if Young Guns 2 was better or not. But I think I remember liking it okay. They were, you know, they weren't the best Westerns, but they were good for the time, I think.
You know, I think this is actually an Indian dude in Short Circuit too. So maybe why. Maybe they like it was such a fallout from the first one that they were like, you know what, let's do a mulligan, and they just kind of like recast the whole thing.
All right.
I like the Young Guns movie a lot, and I really like the Bon Jovi song that's associated with those movies. It's
The Blades of Glory.
Yeah, shot down in a blaze of glory.
Noel, the only reason I did not start singing that is because I was just waiting on you, because I knew that you were going to belt that out.
Dude,
I saw you even sitting back and taking a breath.
Oh, wait. No, Fisher Stevens isn't Short Circuit 2.
Oh, really?
As is Michael McKean. Interesting.
Hmm.
So I don't know if this guy's got his facts quite straight.
Okay. Well, I don't remember that. All right, Noel, we're going to move on here. We do a lot of haikus here on the old Movie Crush. And haikus are easy, Noel. You know?
You say that, Chuck.
You know it's not easy?
What?
A limerick.
Oh, is that, that's a, how does that go?
I knew a girl from Nantucket who's, you know, blah, 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 blah.
Buckets.
Sure. Yeah.
She's something da, 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 and some, da, and something da, da, and some, da, 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 and something and something and cluck it, right?
Yeah.
Got it. Those are tough, yeah.
Well, we just did one. Couldn't be that hard.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
All right. I'm going to go with my friend Mike. Of course, Mike did this. You remember Mike from the show, everyone. He was my pal who did Vernon, Florida as his Movie Crush pick. Mm. And Mike says this. 'Twas a middle school boys' nightly tryst. And these are supposed to be movie related, by the way. That's the whole point. 'Twas a middle school boys' nightly tryst. This alone time would not be missed. Cinemax took some rigging for some real quick gigging, just to boast that I'd seen Schindler's Fist.
Whoa. Schindler's Fist. Isn't that like a like a porn, like a
porn. I don't know if it was a real one.
They wouldn't have shown that on Cinemax, though. They only had like the Red Shoe Diaries and, you know, the light erotica. You know, they didn't have a...
Oh, I think it's best not to break this down too seriously.
Okay, fair, fair.
Wait a minute, that's not a Cinemax film.
I am fully... Dude, no, all I'm saying is I was on board until he named the film, and I'm like, mm-hmm. no, you had right. me until the Schindler's Fist. That no.
You had me until the fist. All right, Mark, if you hear my dogs barking in the background, that's because...
That's just life.
Yeah, anything happened outside. It could be a leaf falling on the ground.
Got it.
Mark Colbinson came up with this one for Carrie. For a very scary Carrie to get laid for senior prom, she must turn up her lovely charm and her best red dress must don. This telekinetic spark plug, all drenched in blood of friends, must with alluring primrose powers ensure a sweet night's end. All right, varied a bit from the rhyming pattern, but that's okay.
It kind of sounds like a riddle that a troll would ask of you at a bridge crossing.
What is your name?
Exactly.
Our oldest of friends, KBO, Kelly Butler Olson, says this. There once was a girl named Ariel. She saved a hot guy, and she fell. In love, he's a prince. The fish, they dropped hints for her name because she just couldn't tell.
So that only works if you pronounce it Ariel.
Ariel?
Ariel. Because oh. it's, right? it's fell and then okay. tell, right?
I probably screwed it up. No. Sorry, KBO.
I think, you know, I would pronounce it Ariel. That's in Little Mermaid, right? I would never pronounce it Ariel. So I think our limerick writer is making an assumption that we would pronounce a name incorrectly to make her rhyme scheme work. So,
hey, that's okay.
You know?
Yeah. She's one of our oldest friends and all. Why you got to do her like that?
I'm not doing her. I'm just keeping it real, man. It's hard times.
Another old pal, Kat Giambruno, says this. There once was a bike and a man. The bike was stolen. An adventure began. With large Marge, he traveled far. Rode with an outlaw in a car. No one can do tequila dance like Pee Wee can.
Big adventure.
That's pretty good.
That was a good one.
These are hard, everybody.
That's the winner for me so far.
Oh, okay. You go in there?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess I'm feeling judgy today for some reason, Chuck.
All right. Giovanna Baudet, one of our old friends, says this. A man reliving the same day, he makes sure that things go his way, but he slowly finds out that's not what love is about, and Punxsutawney is where he will stay. That's pretty good.
That's very good. Okay.
Solid.
Yeah, really good.
Very solid limerick.
Groundhog Day.
I don't know. That was Pulp Fiction.
Ah, shit.
oldest of friends, Austin Ardebsky, is on it today. There once was a bat named Wayne. To all the villains and bad guys, he brought pain. With pow, whack, and zop, he fought through the night. Shouldn't that rhyme with zop?
It should.
He truly was the Dark Knight. Three cheers for the bat named Wayne. I think there was something missing in there, but that was still good.
That was cute. That's about Wayne's World, right?
Uh-huh. That's right. Mm-hmm. Oh, let me see here. This is from Brian Pisesi, one of our oldest of friends. Little Danny knew he was in for a scare. Those twins seem friendly, but oh, what a pair. And beware, tub lady seems super hot, but goodness knows she's really not. It was all bound to happen, even though it's not fair, because Dad's always been the caretaker there. I think there was an extra line in there.
People,
yeah, he says he cheated.
Oh, he says it. He acknowledged. Okay, at least he copped to it. I can respect that's right. that. I can respect that.
Limericks are hard.
They are.
Let me see. Ian Tyson says this. A young farmer by the name of Sky Walker and Han, his old buddy, a talker, in the Falcon they fly. Don't get cocky, he'll cry. Find the Princess Invader, her stalker. Pretty good. As far as I'm concerned, if you nail that rhyming scheme, then you've done it right.
For sure. It's tricky.
I love these, Noel. Limerick Corner.
Limericky. There's lots of dirty limericks that you would...
I think that's usually, sort of the point, is to talk about someone's body parts
that's
or something.
Right. That's right. Sort of body Canterbury Tales-esque
kind
of situation. Yeah.
The Miller told his tale. Mm-hmm. Dan Floyd says this. In tree sap, they found DNA. and then started cloning away. They thought they were sterile, and now they're in peril, thus proving that life finds a way. Ooh. Hats off to you,
that
sir.
That was quite good. Very, very, very zippy.
That is a good one. Ooh, here's a Jaws one. All right. This is from Dylan H. Smith. In the New England island of Amity, a shark attack causes calamity. They'll need a big boat and also a vote, because Vaughn being mayor is in the sequel's insanity. Oh, okay, I get it. The fact that he's still the mayor in the sequel.
Got it.
I gotcha. It's like a Trump two-term.
Is Jaws 2 the one that has Dennis Quaid in it, or is that 3?
I want to say that's 3,
but
I'm trying...
I think it might be 3.
Yeah, because 2 is still Roy Scheider again.
Oh, you're right.
That was kind of a... None of the sequels are good.
But not our hero, or our other hero, the underwater guy, Mr. Holland's Opus guy. What the hell is his name?
Oh, yeah, Dreyfus.
He's not in it. He's not in 2.
No. Yeah, this is our old pal, Jimmy Mallory. He's clearly doesn't know what a limerick is. I'm going to read it just because.
Okay.
This is what he says. To the Mirthmobile, Bohemian Rhapsody, we're not worthy, schwing. I think, is that a haiku?
Is it maybe a haiku? To the Mirthmobile. Yes, it is.
Bohemian. Oh, God bless you, Jimmy.
Yeah.
That's great.
He just wasn't expecting the curveball that was the Limerick Challenge.
Yeah, which is interesting because I very specifically say haikus are easy. Let's do limericks. That's all right.
All right.
Here's Melinda Bacalao. One of our old friends says this about Ghostbusters. Dana has seen a ghost. Peter acts like a game show host. Who are you going to call? Ghost explode out of the wall. Stay Puffed is who Ray thinks of the most. All right, you veered a bit, but that's okay. I'm giving everyone a big old wide berth here, Noel.
I think that's fair and very empathetic of you, Chuck, and these are troubled times.
Let me see here. This is from Joshua Inman from Reservoir Dogs. There once was a man called Mr. Pink. In a coffee shop, he made a stink. The others all died by the time he arrived, and he got all the cash, so we think. Pretty good.
Cute.
Joshua Inman, I applaud your efforts to just do a Reservoir Dogs limerick. I love it. Some people are doing several that are clearly enthralled with limericks. Let me see here.
I feel like it's a lost art. You know, nobody really does limericks anymore. I appreciate you bringing this back up, Chuck.
Hey, man, let's bring back the limerick.
I love it.
Let me see here. Sabrina Grogan. There once was a fellow named Rhett whose love was a southern coquette. He tried hard to shake her, but he had to heartbreak her. Do you think he ever had some regret? That's a good one. Gone with the Wind. Nice work.
Have you seen Gone with the Wind?
If you're rhyming coquette.
Oh, yeah. Was good.
With Rhett, then you've done a good job. Yes, of course I've seen Gone with the Wind, Noel.
Well, I
haven't. Have you?
I have not seen it, Chuck. Does that make me a bad person?
No, that makes you Noel.
Oh, okay.
That's not a movie I would have expected you to see. Let's just say that.
I started watching it on a plane once, but I found it a little tiresome, and I switched to a Fast and the Furious movie, I think.
So you watched the opposite of Gone with the Wind.
Basically.
Scott Thiel says this, Chuck doesn't like Kevin Smith. This really has me quite miffed. Clerks is the bomb. The milk lady is his mom. It's what you expect from a guy who smokes spliffs. Well, he didn't smoke pot back then, so in your face, Scott Thiel.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think some people are mad at me because I don't love Kevin Smith.
I don't really love Kevin Smith.
All right.
I do like... I liked Dogma, and I liked Clerks, and I liked Mallrats just fine, but would I ever find myself to go back and rewatch them? And, you know, his career's... I like him as a personality. I think he's a really interesting interview, and I like his podcast.
Oh, yeah.
And he's got some great stories, and he's an interesting dude.
You think?
I do. I think he's. I'd like to kick it with him and like, you know.
You would?
I would totally blaze down with Kevin Smith. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just that's great, Noel. I hope you guys have fun.
Thanks.
I hope you don't plan on saying many words while you're doing that.
What do you mean? Because he's gonna he won't let me get one in edgewise? Is that what you're
maybe.
Okay. All right, fair enough.
Perhaps.
Fair enough. I see where you're going with this.
No, that's all right. He's great. Need my alter ego. Brett Giles gives us this. Ho ho ho, I have a machine gun. And Severus Snap is on the run.
What?
Who cares about glass? It's a pain in my ass. Though I'm barefoot, these Germans are done.
Oh, cute. It'd be a. I'm sorry, Chuck. I must correct you as the resident Harry Potter expert here. It's Severus Snape, my dude. Okay? It's not Snap. It's Snape.
Snape?
Snape.
Snap. What did I say? Snap?
I said Snap.
That's from Harry Potter?
Yeah, Severus Snape is the character that
What's that got to do with Die Hard?
Alan Rickman plays him in the Harry Potter movies.
Okay, this all made sense. Because yeah. I was like, hey, this is Die Hard, but I don't know who that Severus Snap is. What a dumb shit.
Just had to school you on some Potter trip. Yeah.
I'm really glad. Here's another one from Joshua Inman. He's having a good time with these. A high school lad named Max Fisher developed a crush on a teacher. Herman complained, her affections depleted, and so she wound up with neither.
The end rhyme scheme just really took a dive there.
He said, there's a lot of slant rhymes, but I think that still works.
Okay.
And Fisher developed a crush on a teacher. Herman competed, her affections depleted.
Okay, that's right.
Oh, and so she wound up with neither. No, I think that works. I might have read it wrong the first time.
Maybe that's it.
He's like, you screwed up my limerick.
Oh man, I love the language though. I love the it's very
the wordplay.
The wordplay, yes.
All right, let's finish up here. These are all really good. Let's finish up with our old pal David Mills. Will Ferrell can cause some people friction. For good actors, nobody picks him. But if you want to see a movie where he excels, watch Stranger Than Fiction. You're sort of wrapping it around there. I get it.
Mm-hmm. Is that the Ferrell one that's like...
Stranger Than Fiction, yeah. It's a good movie.
It feels like a poor man's Charlie Kaufman script, kind of, a little bit. It kind of has that vibe.
Sort of.
It has like a Being John Malkovich kind of vibe.
It was a good movie.
I haven't seen it. I just from the trailer and from reading about it, I think I was turned off to it because I felt like it was ripping, you know, Charlie Kaufman a little bit. But I'll check it out. It's worth it?
It was good.
Good.
Yeah, okay. Totally worth it.
Great.
And you know what? I am going to read one more because here's one from Evil Dead, the Evil Dead series from James G. Woodbeck. A deadite hunter named Ash, with his chainsaw arm, he did slash. Necronomicon's curse in his hand, it got worse. He took it off with a hack and a splash.
So good.
Yes.
Is that two? Is that specifically referencing two or is that Army of Darkness?
I think that would be two since he definitely referenced the chainsaw. But that was well done. I'm going to try and write some limericks, Noel. This is my new hobby, I think.
I had a little social distancing outdoor hang for the first time in all of this with a dear, dear friend of mine, and we watched Evil Dead 2 projected on the side of his house while we all sat like 6 feet apart or more around a fire. We also watched What's New Pussycat. Have you seen that?
Sure.
It's so sexist and does not hold up, but it is delightful. It's so stupid. And like,
it's a movie of the time.
It really is of the time. It's like, it's Woody Allen's first screenwriting credit, I believe. And he's in it and plays this nebbish little, you know, kind of like loser character, who can't get the girl, you know, very, archetypal Woody Allen. But Peter Sellers plays the quack psychiatrist with the bad haircut and the French accent. It's really, really, fantastic.
That's great. Was that you watched that same night?
Same night. Feature? We did a double feature. Yeah, we watched most of that. We realized it was getting really long. And we're like, how much movie is left? And there was like a whole hour and a half left. And so we just kind of raged through, like just fast forwarded just to see, like, because it gets kind of ridiculous. Like it's just like, oh, and then there's a car race and, you know, it's just there's like a bullwhip kind of kink party all of a sudden. It's just a very strange movie and it kind of meanders. And then we put on Evil Dead 2 and watched that all the way through because it's just, it is so good. Chuck, Let me ask you this. Have you ever thought about, like, what, as someone who's worked on film, like, to set up some of those shots in Evil Dead 2, just the logistics of it. It's out of control. The way he's like moving through the forest and breaking tree limbs and like flipping upside down and all that stuff. I mean, just the reality of having to rig that stuff is just mind boggling to me.
Yeah. When I did the Evil Dead 2 episode with Joe Garden, he's a student of that film, and they actually rigged this big iron cross and strapped him to it and spun him. Like, there were, you know, everything in that movie almost was practical effects. You know, there was no CG going on. So when he's going through the wood spinning there, over cranking that camera, or I guess under cranking the camera and spinning him in a circle. And that's just what it looks like. It's amazing.
It's incredible. It really is like a cinematic feat, the whole thing, you know?
So Noel, What's New Pussycat is 1 hour and 50 minutes long. So 20 minutes into the film, you guys were saying, how much longer is this?
Okay, Chuck, I'm probably exaggerating a little bit. Like my mother always said, I never let the facts stand in the way of a good story.
No.
I think...
Was that a good story? Sorry. I'm being such a dick.
Wow, Chuck.
No, that was a great story, and I'm just totally ribbing you.
It's fine, Chuck. This quarantine's really, really changing people, isn't it?
Oh, not me. I always give you a hard time. All right, Noel, I think that was a good one. In the can.
Yeah.
Happy April 20th, everyone. I think, isn't it Earth Day too, or is that tomorrow?
Happy Quarantinoween. Quarantinica?
Sure.
Quarantuanza?
Quarantismus?
I like it.
Yeah, I hope everyone enjoyed this. We're, like I said, this Friday we're going to be back with Searching for Bobby Fischel. Fischel? What am I, 2 years old?
No comment.
I hurt my shoulder.
My hair hurts.
My hair. Searching for Bobby Fischer on Friday with Cole Stratton. Emily and I are going to continue doing these quarantine house games. I don't know if you heard that, Noel.
No.
But we're doing this game that I saw a meme online where they had 8 different houses of 5 very disparate celebrities, and you have to choose which house you would want to be quarantined with. So it's like, you know, some really good people and then like a couple of awful people. So you really have to think about like, boy, I get this person that I love and this person that I love, but I have to endure this person. Like, which house do I want to be in? So we did a special ep on that was from the meme. And now I'm starting to write my own and construct my own to especially frustrate Emily. And we're going to be doing more of those as well. Well, good stuff.
I look forward to hearing some of those, Chuck, and to getting back together for some more minis. This is always a highlight of my week.
Yeah, me too, man. And I can't wait to give you a big old hug next time we can see each other.
Same, dude.
All right, we're out. See you next week.
Bye-bye.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.